important that we begin to desire for spiritual solid food. Not milk, not snacks, but food that will help us to grow. So why not this year begin to ask God, begin to plan in a way that you will be able to grow spiritually. Is that okay? That we actually begin to believe God that growing to perfection, it is allowing the Holy Spirit to work within us. Last week we talked about in Hebrews chapter 10, it is God writing His laws on our hearts and in our mind. That means we are internally transformed. The OS has a reformation. An OS has a transformation to transform us from the inside out. Because I believe with all my heart that Jesus did not come to die for us, to give us salvation so that we can go to heaven. You know, many religions promise heaven. Some religions promise heaven as well. But Jesus did not just come so that all of us can have a passport to go to heaven. You know, if that is really the case, right? Every pastor's desire is that when someone is safe, it's better to send them now. Safer, ma. Don't have to do pastoral work. No, just kidding. But what is more important is, okay, not just not to do pastoral work, but you know, a lot of people, they are on fire for God for a while. After that, they backslide. So safer, right? Send them now. But that is not the case. The goal of salvation is not to go to heaven. It's not to earn that passport. No. The goal of salvation, Jesus has opened a new and living way for us, is so that we can draw near to God. So that we can go into holies of holies. What is eternal life? We are saved, we have eternal life, right? Eternal life is to know God. So we should not expect ourselves, okay, I know God when I go to heaven. No, we know God now. Because His Word has been given to us and the Holy Spirit is to help us to know God, to glorify God, amen? To remind us of God's Word. So, don't wait to go heaven. If that is the case, then right now, Christians, we live without purpose. Because your purpose only comes later, when you die, right? No! We have spiritual purpose now. Tell a neighbor, I have a spiritual purpose now. So Hebrews says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He has consecrated for us through the veil. Let us go on to perfection. Let us keep pushing, keep pressing on. You know, the English version, right? I looked through 8 versions, translation, right? I realized there is this missing expression or word in the English translation, because Chinese is my first language, right? I grew up remembering this scripture. In Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1, right, the Bible says, 所以, right, therefore we got to leave, okay, the foundational teaching, the early teaching, and the Bible says here, right, 努力, right, means it's to put effort to enter into maturity. But in English, there's no word as 努力, putting effort. There's such stress. And I realized that actually there is this word in Greek, in the original scripture, original translation, is this word called pharaoh. Okay, it means to bear, to carry the burden, and to move with the suggestion of force or speed. That means it is not just let's go lah, but it's bearing the burden, it's carrying it with you to move with a burden and a speed. It's intentional. Amen? Meaning, in order for us to grow into maturity, we must be intentional. Everybody say intentional. So this year, we will not grow by accident. We will only grow into maturity by intention. We got to be intentional and say, hey, this year, I want to grow. Yes? So now my question is this. Today is the 14th of January. How is your spiritual plan going so far? Great. Awesome. Have you made plans to probably say, today I will, this year I will learn to pray every day? Not just for food lah. Okay, this year, maybe I'll read the Bible one chapter a day. Maybe you subscribe to a Bible reading plan. This year, I want to be part of a spiritual community. Because it has got to be intentional, am I right? 努力, right? 借力. So, we must put effort. Because Jesus has given us a new and living way. Friends, being intentional in our spiritual growth is so important. It is. I'm not talking about getting involved in activities. I'm talking about the intention to work on our spiritual life. Why is that important? Because your spiritual life is the X factor of your life. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, right? It says, while we do not look at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but things that are not seen are eternal. You know, every day we are busy, right? We make ourselves busy doing this and do that. But the thing is, is it just for things that are seen? Because you can work so hard. Whether you drive a Myvi, Proton, or you drive a BMW, at the end of the day, these are all temporary because they are seen, right? But things we have not seen, your love for God, your love for people, your spiritual life, that is eternal. So things which are seen, probably we should put a bit less focus on. We fix our eyes, begin to on things that are not seen. Tell our neighbor, things which are not seen are more powerful. Right? You cannot see oxygen. It's quite powerful. The kingdom of God very often is not seen. The world that we live in today, they are seen, am I right? But they will all pass away. And the kingdom of God is not seen, but it is eternal. That's why when Jesus came, he proclaimed the kingdom that is not seen. So they asked, show us the kingdom. Where is the kingdom? Is it above? Is it here? Is it there? Jesus says, the kingdom of God is in your heart. When the Holy Spirit moves in power, when the evil spirit is cast out, the kingdom of God has come upon you. So this is the kingdom that is upside down. I talked about it last week, that when we read and study about the Beatitudes, it is the principles of the kingdom of heaven that is not seen, but it is present. It is eternal. It is powerful. Friends, a lot of things in your life today, you will only experience transformation when that happens in the unseen. You want to see your family blessed. You want to see peace of God. It's not about buying more insurance, putting up security and all that. Yeah, those things help, but it's external. It is the peace of God in our heart. You want to see relationships restored. It is being reconciled on the inside first. Amen? It is always internal. So let's look beyond. Oh, yesterday in a workshop, we learned how to look beyond. Now with the internet, deepfake. Seeing is not believing anymore. You cannot believe everything you see. Everything they can fake it out, right? Right? After some time, if you upload my video to YouTube, somebody can deepfake maybe my face and voice to teach something wrong. Right? It can be done. Things not believing in it. So we got to go look beyond to the unseen. Most importantly, this year, we want to live a blessed year. But a blessed year is not in the seen, but in the unseen. Last week we learned about four blessings, right? To be poor in spirit, right? To be meek, to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Today we are going to look at another four blessedness, and we see how we can be truly blessed in the sight of God. Is that okay? Are you ready? Verse 7, the Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know, in life, we always work hard and we always want to get what we deserve. But the thing is, we don't want to get very often the punishment that we deserve, right or not? When we use phone on the road, police, please, tolong, start, bagi chance, right? It's when other people knock us, you know, our car, we don't want to give chance, right, a lot of times. But when we need mercy, then we realize that, hey, actually, I really need mercy. But you don't know it until you need it. In the Bible, you look at, in the Old Testament, whether it was Abraham, Noah, Moses, David, all these important men of God, all of them would describe God the same way, that God is a merciful God. That when He loves us, it's not because we deserve it, but because He is merciful. And the promise is this: His mercies are new every morning. That means, right, His mercy will not expire. You know, sometimes we forgive people, or we want to, let's say, you know, there is a promotion for you to pay someone 50% off, right? That's an expiry date one. If you don't pay this weekend, next week it will go back to the same price. But His mercies are new every morning. This is the God that we know. This is the God that we worship. He is merciful. He's a God of mercies and truth. And the beautiful thing is this. The Bible says that when we are like Him, when we learn how to be merciful like Him, we are blessed. We shall obtain mercy. Do you know, being merciful, to show mercy, is not something convenient. It will cost you something. When you have the right to get angry, you choose to forgive. When you are all out, you know, enjoying your hawker, Penang hawker food with your friends, that's where the beggars will come, right? To show mercy, it is very mafan, you know. You know what is mafan? It's very troublesome. Because the more you go, the more troublesome it becomes. You can give 2 ringgit, then you can move on. Or you can talk to that person to get to know what he's going through. To show mercy is something that will cost us. But the Bible says to the world, hey, are you foolish? You don't even know this is a real poor or, you know, fake. And you don't even know what you help can really make any difference. But being merciful is not about the end result. It's about the character. City Light, this year, if you want to be truly blessed, let's learn how to be merciful. Show mercy to our customers, to our friends. Show mercy to our bosses. Show mercy to our family members. Be compassionate. If His mercies are new every morning, then we can learn how to show mercy as His mercies are new for us every day. Amen. And the best thing is this: when we show mercy, we are the merciful, then God will give us His mercy. Isn't it great when we just cancel the debts of other people and God cancels more debt that is from us? Amen? So let's learn mercy this year. Don't follow the pattern of this world where you think you lose out if you show mercy. No matter how the world looks at us, we know what is true blessedness. Number 2, verse 8. The Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. How many of us here have seen God before? Some like thinking maybe. How many of us here, you have experienced God before? You know that He's present. It is such a blessing to just know, more than just knowing about God, but truly experiencing Him, seeing Him at work, knowing that He is present. The Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart. That means the condition of our heart is so important. This year, will you guard your heart? Will we allow the Holy Spirit to guard our heart so that our heart can stay pure? You know, pure doesn't just mean clean. Of course, one aspect is to be clean in our heart, which we should, amen? By the grace of God, let's stop all the dirt, contamination from coming into our heart and to pollute us. Let's stop that. Wrong intention, wrong words, negative stuff to come in. But to be pure in heart can also mean when you buy gold, a pure gold, it's like 99%, am I right? It's like it's consistently gold, not like rose gold, black gold. I don't know. I don't judge me, okay? I don't know all this jewelry. It's pure gold is gold or color. It's not all kinds of white gold and all that, right? Mixed. Wow, so colorful, so nice. It's not pure. But that thing, right? No more value. It is the same. A lot of times, I think one of the problems with us is our heart may not be dirty, but our heart is full of too many different things. Impurities. Say, God, I want your will, but God, can I have 30% of my will also? Oh, God, I want to see your kingdom come, but God, I think my business will also come. You know, we have but. We have conditions. And we say, God, I want to see you work. But God, if I can be famous, also not bad, you know? We have conditions, and after some time, our heart is no longer pure. We say we want to serve God, but we also don't want to serve God. We say we want to, God, give me patience, but we do not want to forgive. It's like double-mindedness. The Bible says those who are double-minded shall receive nothing. Perhaps all of us here have made good prayers before, but perhaps it's not single-minded. This year, can we learn and say, God, I want to be more single-minded. God, I want to be pure in my heart. Just intention, keep it simple. Keep it real before God. God, I submit my plan to you. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. When you see God, you realize that is the best thing that can ever happen to us, because we see beyond the earthly things and we see God. He is the divine, eternal being. He is our creator. He is full of glory. That's why when you spend one moment with God, it feels better than 1,000 moments elsewhere. Number three. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. We don't live in a peaceful time now, right? You see wars everywhere. You see politics everywhere. But what is most crucial is this. People don't have peace with themselves. They don't have peace with each other. They don't have peace, ultimately, with God. Who is the ultimate peacemaker? Jesus. Jesus came to die for us, to make peace between man and God. So that now you and I, we are no longer enemies to God. We are made friends. We become children of God. All because Jesus Christ paid the price on the cross, that you and I are in peace with God. Amen? Come on, let's give Jesus a big hand. Can we give God praise? So, making peace is not something convenient, you know. If two groups are fighting, you go in between, like, you are most likely the one that is wounded, that will be wounded because they fight, right? You go in between. It is the same. When you want to make peace, you want to bring people to God, it's not going to be easy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19 to 20, the Bible says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So all of us here, we have a mission to be a peacemaker. But it is to bring people from darkness to light. It is to make peace with God. But Christ ultimately paid the price so that we can bring this message of reconciliation. It's going to be inconvenient. It's going to cost us something. And all of us, if all of us want to see our friends getting safe, experiencing the peace of God in their lives, we got to go the distance, right? We are ambassadors. We got to go the distance to tell them the good news of peace. That God is not against them. God has sent Jesus Christ. But a lot of times when you do that, let's not be naive that we might be hurt because people may misunderstand us, right? Because people, when people are fighting with themselves, they're fighting with God, they might hurt us. But blessed are the peacemakers. Amen. When we look at the problems around the world today, you realize that very often, it's always come back to this few problems. It's always battle within themselves, their identity, who they are. It is enmity with God or with one another. It's always this. So let's pray, City Light, that God will use us to be peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Then you and I can actually do the work of Jesus Christ on earth. He is the first fruit. He is our elder brother. And he is the forerunner. Verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. None of us is exempted from suffering or persecution. They just come in different form. I do not know what this persecution look like for you. Maybe for each one of us, it is different. Maybe it means to confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord, you get persecuted. Maybe it is to do the right thing and say, I will not give in. I will not bribe. I will do the right thing. You get persecuted. Maybe people will mock at you for the values that you carry. And people mess around, sleep around, play around, and you say, no, I'm a child of God. I stand for what is right. Maybe you get persecuted. But the Bible says that if you are persecuted for righteousness, not for foolishness, yeah? For righteousness' sake, you are blessed. What will you receive? The kingdom of heaven. It's not easy to live like a kingdom person here on earth, because it's upside down. It's not easy to, if you are from an outer planet, right, not from earth, it's not easy to live on earth. But it is worth everything that we have to be part of God's kingdom, because his kingdom is eternal. His kingdom is glorious. He is our king. And there's nothing better than to live under his kingdom. Amen. So, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemaker, and blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. When Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, right? All of us, many of us know the story of Exodus. You can watch Prince of Egypt to know the story a bit. But many of us here, when we look at the life of Moses, we see the fancy part. He is a person of leadership. He wrote, God used him to write the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. Wow, the Pentateuch. He's like, wow, what an achievement. Wow, he must be really powerful spiritually. And, you know, many believe that Moses did not see death, right? Because they couldn't find his body, right? And, you know, so it's amazing that only three person in the Bible that we know that their death is not usual, like Elijah. Moses probably got buried him, I don't know. Then we also have the person who walked with God, Enoch, right? So Moses is seen as a man like that. But do you know that Moses is just like a normal person like you and I? When he encountered God, at the burning bush, God gave him an assignment. Like all of us, he rejected, say, God, who am I? You called the wrong person. I'm not eloquent. But in the end, he still obeyed God, right? To lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And fast forward many years, he led the children of Israel to the mountain where God gave them the commandment. And that's where they built the gold calf, right? And they worship idols. Now, let's go to Exodus chapter 33. With that, I will end today. Exodus chapter 33. God gave Moses one assignment. Let my people go. Bring my people to the promised land. Am I right? And verse 12, the Bible says, Moses said to God and said, God, you bring the people up, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name. You have also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you and may find grace in your sight and consider this nation is your people. No, he was just saying, God, this is a tough job that you have asked me to do. Right? You asked me to do this, but you haven't told me, you know, the way. You haven't shown me who you are sending. God, this is tough. And verse 14, God said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Just a few words. God says, my presence will go with you and I'll give you rest. Verse 15, he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. You know, Moses made a very profound statement over here. He said, God, of course, your presence must go with us. Because if your presence does not go with us, we are no different from the rest of the world. Even if we inherit the promised land, even if we have defeated every enemy, we are still no different from the world. Christians, City Light, do you know that we are no different from the world without God's presence? Do we know more? Are we smarter? The only differentiating factor is that God's presence with us. That is why Jesus Christ has come to open a new and living way for us so that we can go into the holiest. That is the difference that you and I can actually enter through the veil and be in God's presence. That you and I actually carry God's presence. It's not heaven. It's not blessing. It's not achievement. It's not we are more kind than others. It's not. It is God's presence in our lives. That is why all of us must learn how to be His presence carrier. That we must host His presence, love His presence, dwell in His presence, and to know that we are different, not because we are smart. You see, Moses, he led two, three million people out of Egypt. His confidence did not come from his achievement. His confidence came from the presence of God. The Bible says he would talk to God like a friend. And he would dwell in God's presence. He said, God, even if you send angels, do not bring us up from here. Even if you send army to fight for us, do not bring us there. Only come with us. How many of us here will say, God, whether I'm successful or not, whether I achieve this or that, my goals for 2024, I do that, it's secondary. The most important thing is, God, I want to go with your presence. If 2024 is a year with little success in world's view, but you dwell in God's presence, you walk in His way, that is a successful year according to Moses. According to God, that all of us are actually living and walking before God. Let's not just walk before men to please men, to get men's approval. Let's not put a mask or put out a show so that we are acceptable. And Moses told God, God, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your glory. I pray that this year is nothing but of God's glory. I say, God, I don't even know how this could happen. It's not even about my confidence or my ability. But God is just desiring for you to be in your presence. Do you know you and I have this blessing from God that we can actually come to God anytime because of Jesus Christ? That you can enter into God's presence not just on Sunday, but in your own bedroom, at your office. It's not even about that space, it's that internal condition that we are aware that we are in Him. When we abide in Him, then He will cause us to bear fruit. And the fruit is not manufactured. It comes as we abide in Christ. We abide in His love. And that transforms us. And all of us will begin to have this appetite, a fresh appetite for the things of God. And say, God, I want more of you. I want your presence. I want to have the fear of God in my life to know that I should not speak certain things, certain words. I should not do certain things because that does not honor God and His presence in my life. I just want to read this that is not on the screen. In James chapter 3, verse 8, it says, but no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. It is with this mouth that we praise God, if it is with this mouth that we bless the Lord. That's why when we learn how to dwell in His presence, we refrain from cursing, from humiliating, from hurting people with words, from being sarcastic, wounding people with words, because this is the mouth that we tame. We ask God to tame, help us so that we can bless His name. No, it comes to even simple things like that, that God, because I honor Your presence, I do not want to use my words to tell people to go and die. You know, it's just not from the same source. This source is a life that is abiding in God. And it takes a lifelong journey for us to learn how to live in God's presence, to be aware and let Him speak to us. And this morning, I want to spend some time to just worship together. I just want you to imagine, you know, when you go back home, you know, you can, when you step into a space where you know you are not in a rush to do anything, and you just stand in your room and being aware that God is there. God is always there, right? But we got to begin to shift our attention to Him. So you can just go back to your room, you know, and just, you can play a worship song. You can read a scripture. But that is just an exercise for us to be in God's presence, to be aware and to engage ourselves.